Lord our God, we want to thank you for your word, that it paints an accurate picture of the events surrounding the death of the Lord Jesus. It's not a sanitized account. It paints, and we're glad about that, Lord, because not only do we see examples that we can follow, but we see examples that we can avoid. And so, Father, as we turn to think about Judas Iscariot tonight, we pray as ever for the help of your Spirit to challenge us, to help us to examine our own lives, and, Lord, to learn and put into practice the lessons that we learn for Jesus' sake. Amen. Out of the whole world, the Lord Jesus Christ chose only 12 men as his closest followers. Only 12. Even in that time and space where he appeared in Palestine, there were thousands of people that lived there, but he chose only 12, 12 individuals. And yet, it was one of these privileged few who came to be known as the most tragic figure in the whole of Scripture. You know his name. His name is known the world over, Judas Iscariot. Here's a story we're going to be looking at tonight, and there's no happy ending. It's not a story that you tell and they all lived happily ever after. This story has no happy ending. How was it then that Judas, the man who at first just did not believe, eventually betrayed Jesus? Something has happened that has so paralyzed his conscience and his heart that he could sell the Messiah. Remember, the long-promised-for Messiah, the one that all of Israel was looking forward to for centuries. How could he sell him out for 30 pieces of silver? Well, he did it because he secretly drifted away from Christ. He secretly drifted away from Christ. Bishop Ryle, the good Bishop Ryle, first Bishop of Liverpool, said this: open sin has killed its thousands, but secret sin, its tens of thousands. And that was true of Judas Iscariot. He didn't suddenly say, you know, I'm in this for the money. It was a gradual development, and greed usually works that way, doesn't it? But you know, we're so familiar with the story, aren't we? We're so familiar with Judas that we know from the beginning that he's the bad guy. But nobody else knew apart from Jesus. None of the disciples knew. You remember on that occasion when Jesus said that one of them was going to betray him? Do you remember the reaction of the disciples? One by one, they said, is it I? Is it I, Lord? Is it I? So they were completely in the dark. The 12 disciples needed a treasure, and we're told that he was a thief from the beginning. If you just look over there to John's Gospel and John chapter 12, you'll see it tells us clearly there in John chapter 12. I want to just read verses 4 to 6. Verse 4, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. No doubt, he started off by borrowing a coin or two. And then it got more and more. And so he began to sell his soul for the love of money. The greed was beginning to eat away at him like a cancer. It was secretly, silently devouring him. Later, and we have the account of this in Mark's Gospel, in chapter 14 and verse 10, when the chief priests and scribes were plotting against Jesus, they offered him a way to make some easy money. And so he jumps at the opportunity. Mark 14 and verse 10. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. What was Judas's sin? Well, Judas's sin, very simply, that he preferred something else to Jesus Christ. There was something more valuable to him than the Lord Jesus. In Judas's case, it was money. For you, it may be something completely different. It might even be something quite legitimate. But do you see, if it's in the place of Christ, then it loses its legitimacy. Judas's story is a very sad one, but it needn't have been. Think of the privileges that Judas enjoyed. Now, as I say, one of the 12. Of 12 people that the Lord Jesus chose out of the whole world, he was one of them. What were those privileges? Well, let me mention just a number of them. He heard the teaching of Jesus. Imagine that. He heard the teaching of the Son of God, of the promised Messiah. What did the people say? Never a man spake like this man. He speaks as one with authority. Not like the priests and the Levites and the Pharisees. Here's a man who knows what he's talking about. Here's a man who knows the Scriptures. And Judas has a ringside seat. There, whenever they sat on the mount and they gathered and he preached that marvelous Sermon on the Mount, Judas was there. Not away at the back where he couldn't hear, right in the front row. Whenever he told the parables, the Good Samaritan, the lost sheep, he not only heard the parables, he heard the explanation of the parables that Jesus didn't always say to the people. Judas was in the inner group. So for 3 years, Judas was one of the intimate band listening to the words of Jesus. And yet, he never fully believed. He never came to a personal trust in Christ. Wonder how many here this evening, in this room, have heard all the teachings of Christ. Have you? Many of you have. Some of you taught by your parents. Some of you taught by Sunday school teachers. Some by just week by week sitting under the Word of God. You're hearing and you're learning and you're familiar with the stories that are recorded here in the Scriptures. Perhaps a Christian friend has shared the gospel with you. And if somebody asked you, To give me just a wee pre-say of Jesus' life. Tell me about his. You could tell them because you know the facts. You could tell them. You could tell them some of the things that he did. But in spite of that, in spite of all your head knowledge, you've never responded personally to the Lord Jesus. Well, that's just what Judas failed to do. He heard the teaching of Jesus. He saw the miracles of Jesus. Sometimes I think, you know, we're so familiar with the miracles. They don't hit us the way they ought to. They don't stun us as they should do. But when you think of some of those miracles, you know, out in the lake in a little boat, and suddenly a really violent storm takes place. And remember, they're fishermen in this boat, and they've been through all kinds of weather, but they were shaken to the core. And the water, this boat's beginning to take on water. Jesus is asleep. And so they go and waken him. Lord, are you not concerned that we're gonna perish here? What does he do? He gets up. He stands up in the boat and he speaks to the wind and the waves. Be still, he says. And suddenly, there's an instant calm. Now I live by the seaside. Now I live in Port Stewart. And boy, over these last few weeks, there's been a few storms. I tell you, there's been times I've been standing there down at the Crescent and I've been terrified just standing on the street. I would hate to be in the sea in that. And you see, when the wind dies down, it takes the waves ages. It takes them ages for the billows to stop rolling. Once the wind dies down, the waves are still there. It takes a while. But when Jesus said, peace be still, it's a dead calm. Do you remember the response? Who's this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Judas was there. Judas was in that boat. Judas experienced that miracle. Whenever they were out and the crowds were following, and 5,000 men and others besides, so there could have been 10,000 people there. And he feeds them with a wee boy's lunch. And there's baskets left over. Astonishing. Judas was there. Judas saw the wee boy. There were thousands of people at that, I'm sure, who didn't even see that wee boy. Didn't know where the food came from. But Judas knew. He saw the lame healed, the blind made to see, the deaf made to hear, lepers cleansed, even the dead brought to life. Judas was there at Lazarus' tomb when Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. And he sees a dead man walking. Lazarus coming from the tomb. Time and time again, Judas watched these miraculous events up close and personal. And yet, he never allowed himself to experience the miracle of the Lord Jesus changing his heart. Perhaps you've seen a miracle. You've seen a friend converted, a prayer answered. Perhaps you know that God answers prayer. But have you ever come to Christ and said, oh Lord, please do a miracle in my heart? He heard the teaching of Jesus. He saw the miracles of Jesus. He saw people converted to the Lord Jesus. He was with Jesus when Nicodemus came to him by night. He heard that whole conversation in John chapter 3 about the necessity of the new birth. He heard it. Need to be born from above. Nicodemus, the teacher in Israel. Remember, he was the number one teacher in Israel. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Judas heard that. He was at the well in Samaria. And we'll be looking at that later in the week. When that immoral woman was completely changed by the power of God. Zacchaeus gave away. Here's a man who had a problem. He had gathered a lot of money. He gave away half to the poor. And he reimbursed people that he had cheated 4 times. Judas saw that. What about the Gadarene demoniac? Do you remember him? A man that lived among the tombs. They had him chained. The chains couldn't hold him. He was naked. He was totally bizarre. Nobody would go near him. And here they find him sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Judas was there. Judas saw many people converted, but he never experienced conversion for himself. Perhaps you too have seen people converted in your own family. Some of your nearest and dearest, perhaps. Maybe somebody that you work with who formerly was foul-mouthed and completely different, and they've been changed. Or a drunkard sobered. Or an immoral person totally transformed. Maybe you've even seen the self-righteous, upright, moral individual suddenly converted and made right with God. But as yet, it's never happened to you. Here's something even more astonishing. Judas did the work of Christ. Judas Iscariot did the work of Christ. As one of the 12, he did the work of Christ. Do you remember? Jesus sent out 70, two by two. They came back, and here was their testimony. People have been converted. Even the devils are subject to us. Well, Judas was one of those 70. Judas was one who gloried in all that had been accomplished, but he rejected the work of God in his own life. Maybe I'm speaking to someone here this evening, and you're seeking to serve God. You could have maybe be someone who has some responsibility within the Church of Jesus Christ. You could even be a Sunday school teacher. You could be a youth leader, a communicant, an office bearer. But that does not mean that you are right with God. In 1735, John Wesley set out as a missionary to Georgia in North America. And after 2 years work there, do you know what he said? I went out to convert the Indians, but oh God, who shall convert me? He was an ordained minister at that time. To be deeply involved in the work of the church does not necessarily mean that you have peace with God. The advantages that Judas enjoyed, the privileges that Judas enjoyed. But now I want you to consider four consequences of Judas's betrayal. Here's the first one. He lost the promises of Christ. In John's gospel, we're told that after Judas left the upper room, you remember the Lord Jesus continued to speak to his disciples. Do you remember what he said? This is the first portion of scripture I ever read in public. As a wee boy in Killiemurris, I was a wolf cub. I was about 8 years of age, and I had to read John 14. My mother put me over it that often that I knew it off by heart. Big mistake. I had it there in front of me, and I lifted my eyes to see it, and as soon as I lifted my eyes to see it, my mind went blank, and I looked back, could I find it? It seemed like about 10 minutes. It probably was about 2 seconds, but never forgot that. John 14, do you remember what Jesus said? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Judas never heard that. Never heard that promise. Because that promise was not for him. That was for his followers. In fact, we found out later that Judas went to his own place, it says in Acts 1 and verse 25. He lost the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've often asked people a simple question: if you were to die tonight, would you be certain of going to heaven? You know the answer I get? By and large, it's, I hope so. I hope so. I've never done anybody any harm. I've never really done anything bad. But listen, Jesus promised eternal life to his followers. Promises it to them. He gave them a guarantee. You can stake your eternity on the Word of God. It's dependable, trustworthy. And there's no more important question for you to consider. If you were to die tonight, could you say for certainty, I know where I'm going? He lost the promises of Christ. Secondly, he joined the opponents of Christ. For 3 years, Judas had been with Jesus. And I'm sure, you know, being part of that little band at the beginning, I'm sure it was difficult enough. I'm sure people probably laughed at him, maybe even mocked him. But he stayed with Jesus for 3 whole years. And at the end, he goes to the chief priests and he took the money. But no sooner had Judas betrayed Jesus than remorse and regret flooded his mind. Important to note, no repentance. Remorse and regret, but no importance. And so he goes, no repentance. He goes back to the scribes and Pharisees. He admits that he betrayed innocent blood, and he throws the 30 pieces of silver on the temple floor in utter desperation. Do you see it there? If you just look over to chapter 27, and verse 3. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied. That's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. Sometimes a person knows the right thing to do. They know that they ought to repent, and they know that they ought to believe. But because of fear of losing a friend or becoming unpopular, they turn away from Christ and they join his enemies. Because if you're not for him, the Bible says you're against him. How many people here, I wonder, have done that? Put perhaps a relationship with the opposite sex before Christ and have lived to regret it. He lost the promises of Christ. He joined the opponents of Christ. And he died without Christ. This is the saddest thing of all. I can hardly understand. Honestly, I can hardly understand how a man or a woman can live without Christ. But I will never fathom how a person dares to die without Christ. Judas sold God's son 30 pieces of silver, and he didn't even have 30 days to spend it. What a fool. What a complete fool. The Bible tells us how Judas died. He hanged himself. Judas died without God. That means he died without hope. Men and women, there is no reason in the world why anyone should die without God. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross as God, when he suffered there on the cross, God took the sin of his people and laid it on his son. The punishment that should have been put on us was put on him. He became our substitute. He took our place. And as the son had his arms outstretched. It's like he became a funnel, and the wrath of God was poured upon him. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He became a curse for us, Paul says. Imagine, the sinless Son of God becomes a curse for us. Is it any wonder the Father turned away from him? My God, his Son utters, why have you forsaken me? He became a curse. Of course, he also died to conquer death. He was forsaken by God, really and truly he was forsaken, so that we might be forgiven and never forsaken by God. We can enjoy God's presence in life and in death and eternity. And so no one need live or die without God. Though our sins have cut us off from God, the good news is this, that if we turn from our sins, the word the Bible uses is repent. If we turn from our sins to Jesus Christ, if we ask for forgiveness, God will come and live within us by his Holy Spirit. He will be ours and we will be his for all eternity. And Jesus said, I will never leave you. Never will I forsake you. He says, no one will be able to pluck you out of my hand. Judas, however, turned his back on Christ and died without God. And the last thing we can say about Judas is this, that he died without hope of heaven. This is the worst consequence of all. Judas is the only man in the Bible who is individually named as being in hell. Do you know that? Christ warned about hell again and again and again and again. Read the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Just read those four books again and again and again. The Lord Jesus warns that there's a hell to be shunned. He doesn't mince his words. He spells it out in the plainest of language. It is something to abhor, to avoid at all costs. And Judas heard him speak about it. When Judas died, he took the scorn of the people that he helped. Do you see how the scribes and Pharisees treated him after he went back? And they weren't interested. What's that to us? They treated him with scorn. He took the scorn of the disciples and the scorn of Scripture, and 20 centuries of scorn of the whole world, so that the name of Judas is a contemptuous name to taunt anyone who is deceitful. A few years ago, I remember watching a documentary about Bob Dylan. I really like Bob Dylan. But anyway, whenever he moved from acoustic music to electric guitars, he was in England, and as he came on and started to play with his band with electric guitars, somebody shouted from the audience, Judas! And he was furious. But everybody knew what they meant. They saw it as a betrayal, you know, of he was leaving the folk scene and he was getting into more rock music. But people use that all the time. Why? Because of Judas Iscariot. And in fact, it may be that some of the people that use that name as an insult have no idea who Judas Iscariot is or what he did. But most tragic of all is this, that Judas in hell pours scorn on himself. Think about that. Surely he must cry out, I was one of the 12. I heard the sermons and the teaching of the Lord Jesus. I saw the miracles. I saw people converted. I even participated in the work of God. And let hell try and silence him. He'll never be silenced. He's a man who was so close to Christ and yet was so far from him as well. Wonder, does that describe you tonight? You could preach the gospel, you know it that well. You know all about the church. You know about the way of salvation. You genuinely could preach it, but you've never, ever trusted the Lord yourself. Close to Christ, but cut off from him. Here's why. Because you will not come. You will not come in submission. And you will not utter that prayer, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Each of us, each and every one of us has a choice. We either follow Christ to heaven or Judas to hell. I can't put it any clearer or any simpler than that. Which way will you go? Do you remember at the beginning I said, this is a story with no happy ending. But maybe perhaps tonight there could be a happy ending. Maybe someone tonight might decide, here, I do not want to end up in the same place as Judas Iscariot. I know what the Bible says is true. I know that this is the truth. Now, if that describes you tonight, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? It's all right understanding that you know this is the truth. But if you don't do anything about it, you might as well not know. And indeed, you're in a worse position than the person who doesn't know. So you've no excuse. But wouldn't it be marvelous? Wouldn't it be marvelous if you take the Lord at his word and turn from your sin and trust in Christ? Do you know something? That'll be acknowledged even in heaven tonight. There'll be angels, they'll be rejoicing because of one sinner who's found the Savior. And it could be you. And that would be a great ending to this story tonight. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we're so aware that we can fool people. If Judas was able to fool the disciples for 3 years and were shocked whenever they discovered that Judas was the betrayer, then, Lord, it's possible that that could happen in our day and generation. Lord, your word encourages, let a man examine himself and see if he is in the faith. Lord, help each one of us to do that. Not to hope or to think, but to be sure that we're a child of God. And Lord, if there's anyone here in any doubt this evening, don't let them leave this building until they talk to someone. until they find that blessed assurance of sins forgiven by the Lord Jesus. And we ask this, Lord, for your glory and for your glory alone. Amen.